Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app.
Glad to be here for another one.
Yeah, so for decades, bird flu was, well, exactly that, right? A virus that just stayed mostly in birds.
Right, it was practically a law of nature in epidemiology. If you weren't a bird or, you know, someone working right inside a poultry barn, your risk was basically zero.
Exactly. But recently that completely changed. The virus made this this shocking leap right into U.S. dairy cattle.
Which is just a massive shift in how we have to think about this pathogen.
Oh, totally. And it poses a really direct question for everyone listening to this deep dive today. What really happens when an avian virus suddenly learns to invade the mammalian brain?
Yeah, it's a terrifying thought, honestly.
It really is. And, like, how could this completely change our understanding of the risks hiding in something as common as unpasteurized milk? It flips the entire script on what we thought we knew about respiratory viruses.
It really forces us to rethink the pandemic potential of agricultural pathogens.
For sure. So to get into this, today we celebrate the work of Thomas Tippe, Heinz Feldmann, but those were kind of isolated, right? Like a dead end.
Mostly, yeah. A wild animal eats an infected bird, gets sick, and that's usually the end of the chain. But then came March 2024.
A turning point.
Exactly. Yeah. That's when the virus was detected in U.S. dairy cows, and specifically in unpasteurized milk.
And people have been getting sick too, right? I mean, so far there have been about 70 human cases reported in the U.S.
Mostly mild stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Like conjunctivitis or, you know, basic respiratory symptoms.
But not all of them. There was that really severe case involving a teenager in Canada who actually progressed to respiratory failure.
Right, which shows the potential severity here.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because it's kind of like a burglar who only ever knew how to pick the locks on treehouses, suddenly figuring out the security codes to a ground floor mammalian apartment.
That is a remarkably accurate way to put it.
Right, it's just moving into a whole new neighborhood.
Exactly. And, you know, if we connect this to the bigger picture, the CDC currently categorizes the human risk as low, but that's only because it doesn't spread from human to human easily yet.
Yet being the operative word.
Right. The virus is actively evolving. It's figuring out mammalian immune systems, which creates a highly vulnerable situation for global public health.
So to figure out how dangerous this new variant really is, the researchers didn't just guess, they actually compared it.
Yeah, they took a classic 2004 human H5N1 isolate from Vietnam and tested it against three recent mammalian isolates.
So like a 2022 mink isolate from Spain.
Yep, and a 2024 mountain lion isolate from Montana, plus that 2024 bovine or cow isolate from Ohio.
And they tested these on two different types of laboratory mice, C57BL6J and BALBC mice.
Right, which is crucial because those two strains have very different baseline immune responses.
Okay, but here's the wild part about their methodology. They used two distinct routes of infection. One was intranasal, so breathing it in, and the other was orogastric, using a feeding tube right into the stomach.
Yep, straight to the gut.
Wait, why put a respiratory virus into the stomach? What are they trying to simulate here?
Well, the orogastric route perfectly mimics a really common real-world scenario right now.
Like the mountain lion eating a bird.
Exactly. A wild mammal scavenging an infected bird or, and this is a big one, a human or a calf consuming raw, unpasteurized milk from an infected cow.
Oh, wow. So they wanted to see if it could actually survive the stomach acid.
Yeah. Influenza is an enveloped virus, so stomach acid usually destroys it. They needed to know if this variant could survive digestion and still cause disease.
And the results were, frankly, terrifying.
They really were.
The bovine isolate was highly virulent. I mean, it replicated to massive titers in the lungs and caused viremia, which is basically virus just flooding the blood.
Right, systemic infection.
Yeah.
And it caused uniform lethality much faster than any of the other isolates they tested.
But here's where it gets really interesting.
The neurological data.
Yes. The C57BL6J mice infected with the cow isolate didn't just get respiratory issues, they developed severe neurological symptoms.
Mm. We're talking tremors, circling behavior, severe ataxia, where they lose muscle control and hyperactivity.
Because the virus literally got into their brains.
It did. But this is the anomaly that really stands out. Despite these incredibly high viral loads in the brain, and a massive pro-inflammatory cytokine storm.
Right. The researchers saw huge spikes in cytokines like IL-1 alpha, GM-CSF, and MIP-1 beta. The immune system was basically screaming.
Exactly. The brain was flooded with inflammatory signals. But when they looked under the microscope, there were no observable microscopic brain lesions or tissue inflammation.
Wait, really? No structural damage at all?
None. The tissue architecture was completely intact.
That makes no sense. If the mice are having tremors and losing motor control, how is the brain not physically damaged?
Well, the virus got right into the neurons and the glial cells. It seems to have caused profound metabolic disturbances.
So it basically short-circuited the brain without actually blowing up the hardware.
That's exactly it. It caused fatal neurological disease through functional disruption rather than destroying the tissue itself.
That is wild. And it was different for the other mice, right? The BALBC mice.
Yeah, the BALBC mice actually succumbed to the bovine isolate a full day faster than the C57BL6J mice.
A day faster? Did they have even worse tremors?
Nope. They didn't have any neurological symptoms at all.
Wait, why not? If they died faster?
Because they died from rapid respiratory failure before the neurological symptoms even had time to develop. Their specific immune system, that TH2 pathway, just couldn't clear the virus from the lungs fast enough.
So the virus just overwhelmed their lungs before it could even really get to work on the brain.
Exactly. It shows how slight differences in host genetics can completely change how this virus kills you.
Which brings us to the big so what of this whole deep dive. What does this actually mean for us?
It means the bovine isolate possesses dangerously enhanced neuroinvasive and neurovirulent traits.
And we can't ignore that stomach growl either. The fact that the orogastric route was so lethal in these mice is a massive reality check.
It strongly supports the idea that ingesting the virus-like through raw milk or scavenging is a highly potent exposure route for mammals. It survives the gut.
Which is terrifying for anyone drinking unpasteurized milk right now.
Absolutely. But there's also a massive genetic mystery here that the paper highlights.
Right, because normally when bird flu adapts to mammals, virologists look for very specific mutations, right?
Yes, the classic rules of viral adaptation. Normally, an avian virus needs certain genetic changes to replicate in a cooler mammalian body, like the PB2 E627K substitution.
That's like the famous thermal adaptation mutation, right?
Exactly. Or specific deletions in the NS1 protein to evade mammalian immune responses.
But this cow variant, it doesn't have them.
It completely lacks those classic genetic mutations.
It's missing the standard molecular keys, but it's still breaking into the house anyway.
Yes. Instead, it has novel mutations in the M1 and NS1 proteins.
So it's found a totally alternative backdoor.
It has found a novel genetic pathway to achieve high virulence in mammals. And that requires immediate further study because it means our current genomic surveillance might miss dangerous strains if they don't look like the classic threat.
And you know, for you listening, this is exactly why you should care. Understanding this unique way the virus causes disease, this pathogenesis, is the crucial first step.
We need this data to develop targeted countermeasures, new vaccines, and antiviral therapies.
Right, we have to do it before it potentially adapts further to humans. We can't just wait around.
We really can't. If I had to summarize the main takeaway from all of this, it's that the recent H5N1 bovine isolate demonstrates unprecedented and rapid virulence in mammalian models. It is capable of causing fatal respiratory and neurological disease, whether inhaled or ingested.
It's a dual threat.
Yeah. And this challenges our existing molecular understanding of avian flu and highlights the urgent need for new public health countermeasures.
What does this mean for our global food supply chains and the safety of unpasteurized dairy products if this virus continues to adapt to mammals?
It's definitely something every single one of us needs to be paying close attention to as this evolves.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science base by base.
Starts to sing. A It's in the lungs.